Okay. Good morning. So we're in the book of Galatians this morning, and we are finishing the book of Galatians this morning. Our final sermon will be a total of 23 sermons in the book of Galatians. So we're going to be in chapter 6 this morning, verses 11 through 18. So that's the last time you'll see that video intro about Galatians, A Heart Set Free. It's been just a great study for our church, and I hope that you've learned a lot and been encouraged. So here we go. I'm so excited. I mean, just as a history of Galatians, kind of a review, you know, in chapters 1 through 2, Paul really introduces himself. Although he knows the Galatians already, he reminds them of who he is. He reminds them of his testimony, of his right, really his authority to speak on behalf of Christ. He is an apostle. That's chapters 1 and 2. Chapter 3 and 4, he really makes this point that it's always been grace. It's always been the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, it's one message in the Bible, the gospel. And in chapters 5 and 6, Paul is helping us see how, by the Holy Spirit, we can live in our lives according to the gospel. That's the whole picture. That's the book of Galatians. We titled our series, A Heart Set Free. And this morning, the title of this sermon is All About the Gospel. Galatians 6, 11 through 18. And that, I think, is a very appropriate way to finish the study of Galatians, which has been all about the gospel. I want to say, it was hard for me to pick that title. And here's why. I don't like things when they become buzzwords or cliches, especially for Christians. It's just something that makes me want to run in the other direction. And yet, the word, the gospel, and actually in some ways has kind of become lately in some of the circles that I'm part of, a little bit like that. It's like, hey, if you put the gospel in front of whatever, like, it's cool, you know, like your blog or a book. I have a book called The Gospel According to Starbucks. I'm sure it says nothing helpful, but I'm sure it sold copies to Christians because it had that title. You know, it's like the gospel. And I want to say, though, when I say all about the gospel, I want us to really talk this morning about what that word really means. It is not, can we say not? Just say not real quick. Not. It is not a musical genre. You know, like you're in the music store, you're walking down the aisles, you're like, you know, alternative Christian rock. Oh, no, that's not me. I'm more gospel. Let me get over here to the gospel aisle. Right. That's reality. I understand that. But that is secondarily what the term gospel refers to. It's not these things. It's something very profound and deep. It actually means the old English word is goad, spiel. The word goad means good, and spiel is like giving the latest. Like, what's the spiel? The news. So it means good news. So the gospel is not good advice. It's not what to do with your life. It's what has been done for you by God through Christ. It's good advice. No, it's not. It's good news. Yes, it is. That's the gospel, and it's such a central theme in the New Testament. You know, in Mark chapter 1, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What did he do? He preached the gospel, and he healed people with diseases, and he taught them the Bible. What does Paul say in Romans 1 about the gospel? It is the power of God for salvation. What does he say in 1 Corinthians 15? That he delivered to them as of first importance that Christ died for our sins. It's the gospel. It's the first thing. It's the main thing. And what does he say? What have we seen time and time again in Galatians? In fact, in chapter 1, he says, let no one preach any gospel other than the true gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but if they do, let them be eternally condemned, he says. Galatians 1. And so this has been a book about the gospel.
When we say gospel, we're talking about the cliff notes of the Bible. We're talking about the heart of true Christianity. We're talking about the main point of Christian everything, okay? And really, the gospel is not rocket science. It's simple. It's four quick things. It's that there's a God. He's the creator. We're accountable to him with our lives. That's the first thing, God. The second thing is that we are all human beings here. We are mankind, and we are sinful and separated from God because he's holy and we're sinful. So you have first God, then you have the state of humanity. You have man. And then the third part of the gospel is Christ. The person and work of Christ. That Christ came, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death, that he didn't deserve to die, that we deserve, and he rose from the grave, and he did this for us. He's our substitute. So God, and then man, and then Christ, and then that's the good news, but the final part of it is that we must respond. It's not that we must do good works, it's that we must respond and reach out with the empty hands of faith and receive the gift of the gospel from God. So God, man, man's sin, Christ, the person and work of Christ, and response. That's not very complicated. Four things. Four things, but the gospel. So all about the gospel. So what do we have here today? Galatians 6, 11 through 18. And I give that intro because I'm going to say the word the gospel a lot today. And I don't want it to just be this thing that's bouncing around off the walls in here, this cliche, this buzzword, this thing that you have your meaning for, I have mine. Let's not do that. Let's really have a meaningful conversation with God's word today about the gospel. So, what do we have here? We have in this text the final passage of Galatians. It's sort of a longer conclusion. It's eight verses. It's a summary of all the big things that we've looked at. I'm going to break this down into 5 points this morning. Our focus, something we should know, what we should boast in, something we should keep to, and what we should bear. So let me read Galatians 6, 11 through 18 and pray, and we'll look at our focus. See with what large letters I am writing to you, with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let's pray real fast together. God, we thank you this morning for not just this passage before us, but this letter you inspired in the early church to the Galatians. And in many ways, as we've seen in the past couple of months, we are like them. And we need to be reminded where our salvation comes from, the basis for joy, the basis for confidence and boasting in our life as Christians. God, we need clarity about what it means to be a Christian, about how to be truly saved. There's a lot of religion, and there's a lot of ways for us to step off the path. And so, God, would you help us see so clearly as we finish this study today what you want us to see, the truth of the gospel. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All about the gospel. Right. So, verse 11 is our first point. And the point is this. Focus on the big issues. The gospel. Alright? So look what he says in verse 11. Look down if you can. Please follow along in your own Bible if you're able to, or on your phone. Look at verse 11. It says, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Now, this is just a great reminder that the New Testament was originally, you know, a handwritten letter by the apostles, inspired by the Spirit of God. Obviously, as you look at your Bible or your phone, it's probably not larger here, right? So you have a translation, you have a Bible for you, but the original, he says, see with what large letters I am writing to you. He says, with my own hand. So what does this mean? Does this mean Paul hasn't written any of Galatians up until this point? Well, then who's the author? What is he talking about here? Well, real quickly, understand that in the New Testament, it was very common, not just for the writers of the Bible, but for writers of any kind of letter to anyone, to have a secretary. And the Latin word for secretary is amanuensis. And we know that this was the case in the Bible, because in Romans 16, verse 22, and I'm not going to show it to you, but I'm just going to say this. Here's this little verse in Romans 16, verse 22. You know what? If you want, this could be your life verse, okay? Here it goes. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. That's a verse. So the secretary for Paul, in verse 22 of chapter 16, just like Paul looks away for a second, he's like, what's up, y'all? Tertius here. You know? Greet you in the Lord. And you say, why did Paul take the pen for Galatians and do the end himself? Well, we know, because look what Tertius did in Romans. He's not trustworthy. He keeps trying to put himself into the Bible. So, what really is going on here? Why does Paul here suddenly in verse 11 say, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand? There's a few theories on this. One that we just came up with together, that Tertius is not trustworthy. Another one would be that Paul had bad eyesight. And so he talks earlier in Galatians about their love for him and how they would have given their own eyes for him. Maybe he there is referring to his bad eyesight. So maybe he just can't see, so he writes real large. Like, you know, those huge calculators at the dollar store. I mean, this is Paul. He's like, all right, let me write, Tertius. He just starts writing these huge letters. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's he's not able to write very well in Greek. Because we know he was a Jew and he was a Roman citizen, but this letter is in Greek. And so it's like a kid learning to write. He just writes real big, weird letters. Or maybe, and this is what I think it is, he's making an emphasis. In the way that you and I make an emphasis, maybe you do a very bold statement and you make it bold, or you italicize it, or you underline it, or you up the font to like 70 at the end of a note that you're writing to someone. And why do we do that? Because we want them to get it. We want them to get this. This is really important. Here's something I don't want you to miss. And I think that's what's going on here. And so that's why the point is focus on the big issues, and that is the gospel. Because really, in verses 11 through 18, he is recapturing and summarizing really the whole point of Galatians, which is the gospel. I was looking into this past week. I was thinking about this idea of putting something in large letters so that someone will really see it and pay attention. And I saw that you can actually, for $1,249... you can reserve a billboard in Times Square for 5 minutes, and it's the date and time of your choosing so that you can propose to your significant other. So I just share that for free. If there's any of you in here who've been dating for too long, it's time. $1,249. You can actually upgrade to the premium Times Square location featuring a 7-story high LED screen or billboard with 11 screens. You can do that to propose to your significant other and have that special moment. There's other parts of the package you can pay for. You can get a videographer to come out. You can get a slideshow to play. There's all these things you can do. I was looking at that and I was just thinking, how funny is that? You know, like, a guy will pay all of that money to communicate this short question to his girlfriend, and then once she says yes, I mean, if she calls him collect the next day, he's going to like yell at her. Like, hey, we don't pay that much to communicate with each other, okay? It's just like, you know, from here forward, we'll never pay money like that to talk with each other. But for this important message, it's worth everything. And I think there's some principle there. Why would anyone pay for that? Well, because you're saying something that is of the most high importance to someone whom you dearly, dearly care about and love. And that is the case here with Paul in these Galatians. He was part of this church. He loves these people. He sees what's happening to their faith as they get misled by the false teaching, and he is taking the pen and writing in large letters, please don't miss this. You've got to look up and see this huge font about the gospel. Focus on the big issues. And so I would just say, you know, here we are at the end of this series in Galatians. We've been privileged to go through one of the great books of the New Testament together. For whatever reason God has had you here, you may not have been in all these 23 sermons, but maybe you've been here and been part of it. And that's his sovereignty. And you know, it's a big deal. And so, does God have your attention with the gospel? Are you ready to make it more than a genre or a buzzword or a cliche or an abstract set of principles, but really a part of your life? Part of how you live, how you think, your worldview. Will we be, as this study ends, hearers only or doers of Galatians? So, focus on the big issue, the gospel. Now, point two. Know what the world hates. The gospel. You got a real creative outline this morning. Know what the world hates. The gospel. Now, here, Paul is talking about them. First, he's talking about himself. I'm writing with large letters. Now, he's talking about them. Look at verse 12 to 13. Look down if you can. It says, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And every time we say circumcised here, just think of ceremonial, tradition, man-focused, outward, religious adherence for the sake of feeling like you're right with God. So don't get all caught up in sort of the biological, surgical procedure of circumcision. Just understand what this stood for. It stood for trusting in the law or yourself instead of in Christ. So, again, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. We're going to explain this. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. Again, the point here, know what the world hates, and it's the gospel. There are three groups here in these verses. It's kind of a tangled couple of verses. So let's just clarify. There are three groups here. The first group is the Galatians, the audience here, the Christians. The second group is the false teachers. But there's a third group, and it's the Jews, whom the false teachers are afraid of being persecuted by. So let me just explain. The Galatian Christians, they are under pressure to conform to the external law, tradition, and ceremony, circumcision, as a basis for salvation and not the cross only as the basis for their salvation. But the Galatians, they're under pressure to do that, but for them, until they give in to that pressure, for them, they're living their life with a big cross. A huge cross. The cross is everything. All this external stuff, keeping the rules, ceremonies, rituals, traditions, away with from me with all of that. It's the cross. That's the Galatians, okay? That's it. Then there's this middle group of people, and it's the false teachers in Galatia, the Judaizers. What is their deal? Well, we're just hearing about them in these verses. We've been hearing about them all in this book, but they're focused on the flesh. They want to use the Galatians to appease those whom they fear persecution from. We'll talk about this people in a second. They are hypocrites when you look up close because Paul says they don't even keep the law. They are compromised Christians, if you can even call them Christians. They are little cross people. They are small cross people. They are cross plus So you got the Galatians, they're big cross people. It's everything. We love the cross. You got the compromisers who are cross plus people. They're little cross people. But they are influencing the Galatians to follow the law, to avoid persecution from this other group of people. And who is that? It's the Jews. They're persecuting these compromisers. Here's what we're saying. The Jews are persecuting Jews who become Christian leaders and who don't adapt their message to flatter the concept of the law and righteousness achieved by keeping the law. And so these compromisers, these false teachers, they're afraid of suffering for the cross. They're afraid of these guys. And so they're putting pressure on these guys to keep them from being persecuted. Let me explain. The pressure of the compromisers of Christianity is as big a threat to our spiritual lives as the influence of the persecutors of Christianity. The compromisers are controlled by fear of man because they want to be loved by the world, and they also want to have a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the cross too. This is really important to understand. The world hates the gospel. It's important to know thy enemy. And it's not always as simple as the persecutors. But there's this middleman, this compromised person who's afraid of the persecutors, who's pressuring you to also compromise. I'll read this quote from a pastor, Tim Keller, in his commentary on this passage. He says, "The gospel is offensive to liberal-minded people who charge the gospel with intolerance because it states that the only way to be saved is through the cross. The gospel is also offensive to conservative-minded people because it states that without the cross, good people are in as much trouble as bad people. Ultimately, the gospel is offensive because the cross stands against all schemes of self-salvation." So, we got these three groups, right? The Galatians, big cross people, that's how we're all supposed to be. These compromisers, cross plus people, and these persecutors, these no cross, anti-cross people, right? These are these groups we've got. What's an example of this middle group in our day? I'll give you some examples real quick. The Bible questioning New Testament professor in the world religion department who pressures Bible-believing Christians to conform to his or her more palatable, pseudo-scholarly, loving version of Christianity. And why is he doing that to these people in his class? So that he's not persecuted by these people. This is compromising. This is this layer of real disdain for the true gospel that we need to be aware of. Or what about the gay-affirming pastor slash blogger who news networks and publishers love to promote and who pressures other pastors, Christians, and readers to embrace their popular, more culturally palatable, culturally relevant, spineless version of the Bible? Why are they pressuring people to agree with them? Because they love to be loved. What about the religious parent or spouse or friend who just wants you to change your behavior for the sake of your appearance or their appearance, but does not seem genuinely interested in the well-being of your heart and the place of the cross in your life, pressuring you to behave so that they look good here? The same thing. It's this lack of preeminence and focus on the cross of Jesus Christ that creates this unhealthy dynamic. And so, you just got to know this. The world hates the gospel. Those who want to be loved by the world will water down the gospel and pressure you to do the same. Know thy enemy. Number three. Boast in what really counts. You ready? The gospel. Boast in what really counts. The gospel. So Paul's talking about them, verses 12 to 13. Now he's talking about himself again. He's like, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. So what is he saying? He's saying to boast in what really counts, and that is the gospel. The word here, boast, he says, but far be it from me to boast. The word boast means to joyously exult and have high confidence in something. It's not self-confidence that Paul's talking about here. It's Christ's confidence. He's saying, and this is really important, because what you see if you look at these verses, and this is a very, I would say, amazing verse. Verse 14. Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying everyone has ground to boast if you are a believer in Christ.
Amen.
The person who is self-loathing can boast in Christ. The person who is self-promoting can boast in Christ and not themselves. Boasting in the cross is an appropriate and even necessary response of believing the gospel. It is not about thinking higher of yourself or lower of yourself. It's about thinking less of yourself and more of Christ. Does that make sense? Paul is saying, we boast in the cross. That's where we meet together. We boast in the cross of Christ. Another scholar said, the truth is we cannot boast in ourselves and in the cross simultaneously. If we boast in ourselves and in our ability to save ourselves, we shall never boast in the cross and in the ability of Christ crucified to save us. We have to choose. Only if we have humbled ourselves as hell-deserving sinners shall we give up boasting of ourselves, fly to the cross for salvation, and spend the rest of our days glorying in the cross. It's interesting how there is this finality here. If you read verse 14, I mean, he says we boast in the cross. What does he say next? He says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. There's a finality there. There's a death. A double crucifixion. The world to me to the world. There's this crossroads. There's this decision that needs to be made. Is it going to be about you? And it can be about you in two ways. It can be about you in the self-loathing way, or it can be about you in the self-promoting way. But it needs to be about you or about Christ. And when you make that decision, there's a funeral. You're crucified to the world, the world's crucified to you. And what happens after a funeral? A new creation. And that's what he talks about. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It's interesting, he says in this letter where he's so intent on trying to teach that you don't got to be circumcised. Look at what he says. It's interesting. He says, it's not about circumcision. But he also says, it's not about not circumcision. And sometimes we do that, right? We get so reactive to the wrong thing, we make this new legalism out of what we think is the right thing. And Paul's like, both are wrong, because it's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about the cross. It's a new creation. It's interesting, this word, new creation, because it's almost like Paul is saying, like, the gospel and the cross is a beginning point in history of the new creation. And you're trying to press upon me something from the old creation. And he's just dismissing it, saying, get that away from me. That's the old creation. Circumcision, tradition, ceremony, all of that stuff. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about growing up, I had a lot of friends whose parents had like immense VHS tape collections. And I remember thinking, those kids are so cool. They have the coolest parents. They have all these VHS tape collections. And I remember we could go and borrow a tape from someone, a movie. Sometimes, like, if you didn't have the money to go rent a movie from, like, Blockbuster, or I know we're really going way back in the day here, you know, Blockbuster or Movie Gallery or a place like that, before Redbox and Netflix and all this, you know, you could go to your friend's house, and they might have an alphabetically organized personal VHS tape. And it's really a ground for boasting in the 80s, okay? But it's not now. It's the old creation. Don't come up to me with your VHS tape. I've got Come Fly With Me, Michael Jordan. Guess where we had to get this from? The attic. Because that's where it belongs. Because it's a VHS. I'm sorry if this offends you. You might be thinking, like, I just watched a VHS last night, man. This church is supposed to be multi-generational. Well, look, I have VHS tapes too. I'm with you. But it's the old creation. Don't boast about that. That's a paperweight. It's the old creation. Paul's like, it's a new creation. It's circumcision. Circumcision is gone. It's nothing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have it. It doesn't matter if you don't. What matters is Christ. What matters is, do you have faith in the gospel? Do you believe in Christ? That is what matters. And so, the fourth point is this. Keep to the real golden rule, the gospel. Look at verse 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you have any rules that you live by? Like, you know, just like a personal policy. Maybe you're real proud, but maybe you're like, man, that's just my motto. That's how I do life. I have a rule. I keep my rule. If you're going to do stuff with me, you need to respect my rule. Why do we have rules like that? Here's why. Because they help us feel peace in life. Some control. Some peace. It's interesting, Paul here says something similar. He says, all, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. It's interesting he uses the word rule. And he's saying the rule of the gospel. He's talking about what he just was talking about, the new creation, circumcision, nor non-circumcision matters. What matters is Christ, boasting in the cross. He's talking about that rule. He's saying, if you live by that rule, if that's the rule of your life, the ruler of your life, the principle, the motto, the worldview of your life, you'll have peace. And you will experience mercy. That's what he's saying. It's funny, we live by that. We talk about the golden rule, right? Say, hey, make sure you just live by the golden rule. Which is what? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Put God first. Here's the problem. Great stuff, but that's the law. How are you doing with that? I'm not doing very good with that. None of us are. Do we put God first all the time? No. Today, already, 20 times, we've not done that. Do we do unto others as we want them to do unto us all the time? No, we don't. We tell our kids to, but we don't. And so that's the law. And that's the golden rule. And it's great. And you can live by the golden rule and go straight to heaven. Because you don't keep it. So the real golden rule, the rule that Paul's talking about here, for Christians, is the rule of the gospel. Keep to the real golden rule, the rule of the gospel. And he says, if you do, you will experience the blessing of peace, the blessing of mercy. He even says, you're the Israel of God, which means that these Gentile Christians in Galatia, that they are the people of God, chosen. They are the heirs of the promise of Abraham. They are Israel of God. It's just an encouraging thing for them to hear Paul say that. So keep to the real golden rule, the gospel. And now I just want to see if you can fill in the last blank without me showing the slide. Bear the mark of true Christianity, the gospel. Verse
verses 17, really, and 18 also. This is an interesting verse. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. The word here, the marks of Jesus in Greek is the word stigmata. There was actually a horrible movie in 1999 called Stigmata. But it was actually about what this is talking about. There was someone in South America who was beginning to bleed from their hands and from their feet. And they were, because they were so devoted to Christ, they were beginning to bear the marks of Jesus. This superstitious ridiculousness. And it actually, there's legend, and I say only legend because I just don't think this is true, but that St. Francis used to occasionally, when he was deep in prayer, actually have marks on his hands and his feet and around his forehead. It's the marks of Jesus, the stigmata. But what are we really talking about? Talk about taking a verse out of its context. I mean, bear the mark of true Christianity. What have we been talking about? Circumcision. And you want to be a real Christian? Are you circumcised? Is that what we've been saying all through Galatians? That's the context? Yes, it is. Okay. So, what is Paul saying? I bear the marks of Jesus. What is it? It's the scars that he has from the many times that he's been persecuted for his faithfulness to the cross of Jesus Christ. This is in direct contrast to the false teachers who say true commitment as a Christian is to be circumcised, which actually is a sneaky way to avoid the very persecution that Paul is saying is the mark of a true Christian. So, it's rather than some surgical procedure or some ceremony or tradition, he's saying it's the scars of persecution, showing one's willingness and boldness to take a stand for their belief in the gospel that truly marks you and sets you apart as a true follower of Christ, as a Christian. Is your life marked by the boldness of the gospel? If your neighbors or coworkers, if you were arrested for being a Christian and the government called your neighbors and coworkers in to support their case, could they? Are we living out our life and our faith in Christ with this boldness that comes from the gospel that creates this real mark of a true Christian in our life? That is what Paul is talking about here. And you see, verse 18, he just is still talking about what it really looks like to be a Christian. When he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Be in your life. Be stirred into everything that you are. Brothers, amen. So with that, I want to remind you of these 5 points and ask the band to come back up for a song, close in prayer. But we're all about the gospel. Galatians is all about the gospel. We as Christians aspire to be all about the gospel. Now, we're not perfect. None of us are always all about the gospel. And that's why we need the gospel. Hello? So we focus on the big issue, the gospel. We know that what the world hates, the gospel. We boast in what really counts, the gospel. We keep to the real golden rule, the gospel. We bear the mark of true Christianity, the gospel. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just this great encouragement that you are a God who forgives. And you are a God who saves. And you will not allow us to point to anything else but the cross of Jesus Christ as a basis for our salvation. Lord, may us, as we come out of this study in Galatians, be a church and be a people and be individuals who boast loudly, who boast loudly.